So I believe that this shows that for very old patients who chemoimmunotherapy may be problematic, ibrutinib may be a treatment that can induce responses. And also it shows that even when we have atrial fibrillation, we can either continue or, you know, start treatment with ibrutinib, and we can even use anticoagulation. In this particular case, apixaban was used for anticoagulation.
Wow, really fascinating case. Steve, any thoughts about this case? If you could, would you try acalabrutinib in a patient like this?
Well, I think it's a remarkable case. It shows that we can give BTK inhibitors to older patients. In fact, our oldest is over 100 years old, receiving ibrutinib. So the potential to be able to give this therapy and manage it even through complications of atrial fibrillation, you know, should be recognized. I probably just would want to know if the patient had any cardiac amyloid. I would have looked at her echo very carefully. And, you know, if there was any evidence for infiltrative disease, then we might have, you know, resolved that further. But she's also in the age bracket where atrial fibrillation is quite common. We see it in about 5% of all individuals, you know, above the age of 75. So it's a quite common predisposition that exists. I don't know, Neil, if using a different BTK inhibitor would have made any difference here. Again, as we talked about earlier, when we look at the relative AFib rates that have been reported at different, you know, points in time, we tend to see a similar level of atrial fibrillation. It can be cumulative over time. And usually the folks that get it early are people that have had paroxysmal atrial fibrillation or some arrhythmia event even earlier in their lives, sometimes prompted by cold medications. But you always hear something in that history for those individuals that get the early atrial fibrillation. The late one seems to be a different entity with really no background history. And that's why in those particular patients, we'd want to make sure that we weren't dealing with cardiac amyloid.
Yeah, it's really interesting to hear your perspective on atrial fibrillation because, like, I think maybe I hear a little bit different thoughts coming from the lymphoma people, but not so much based on data. It's just like, for example, you present an older patient with mantle cell, and a lot of investigators will just start with acala because they think maybe it's safer, but I don't know that there isn't any data right now, as you're pointing out.